Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of Ben and Woods is brought to you by Spectrum Business. At Spectrum Business, the price you see is the price you pay. There are no added phone taxes or hidden fees for internet and phone service, unlike other providers. There's no more guesswork trying to figure out how much you'll actually pay every month. With Spectrum Business, you'll know. You'll also know a little bit more about what's going on here in San Diego when we're joined by Scott Lewis from the Voice of San Diego. We'll do that right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick. Just because Woods is under the weather and not here, apparently it doesn't mean that I'm getting off easy. We're still going to play Has Been Ever coming up here at the top of the hour. I'm waiting for our special guest to arrive. Should be here momentarily, but Paul will set up our 10 questions. And just in case I forget, we're going to be giving away a copy of NBA 2K21 for PS4 or Xbox to whoever participates in our game. So be ready to call in here at the end of the hour if you want to play along in our next segment at 8 o'clock. Right now, though, we go out to our SDCCU fan hotline. Welcome him back. I haven't talked to him in a few weeks, which actually is a good thing. And don't take that as an insult, Scott, but fortunately we've had so much sports going on that we've been able to focus on that rather than the pandemic and other things that were occupying our mind through much of this 2020. But it's good to welcome Scott Lewis from the Voice of San Diego back on here on 97.3 The Fan and Ben and Woods. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Yeah, it was pretty bleak there for a while.
It was.
I'm glad that we got other things to talk about. Absolutely.
Do you enjoy being our voice of bleakness?
I did. It's a great role for me.
So I know a lot of people, my wife included, very concerned yesterday that the new numbers were going to come out and that San Diego was possibly going to be bumped back into a different tier of restrictions, you know, like gyms closing back up and inside, yeah, you know, limited dining closing back up. What was kind of the status there? And I don't even understand exactly how that works in particular.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out, too. I was trying to figure out exactly. I think first, remember, let's review what happened. So at the end of August, the state says, hey, all of these different phases and tiers and watch lists we were on, we're going to scrap all those. Sorry. I know we've been jacking you around. Here's a new system, and it's these tier system. And in the tier system, purple is the worst, but red is not the worst. Now, red in popular culture has usually the connotation of, like, the worst, but it had this weird effect of actually making some things open immediately. August 31st for San Diego, and I don't think the state fully planned it. I don't think they realized that for some places this might actually be a liberalization of the lockdown. But they did, and August 31st, we were allowed to open indoor dining suddenly. The county wasn't even consulted, was scrambling, trying to adjust to it. Gyms were allowed to open at 10% capacity. Hair salons and salons were allowed to open. Now, they can stay open regardless of whether we go up to the purple tier or not. And all these things happened. And then cases started going up, and it wasn't necessarily because of the opening, but it didn't hurt or didn't help. And then the numbers out of SDSU sort of really went nuts. And so we were all bracing this week for it to cross that critical threshold, which is 7 new cases per 100,000 people per day. So We thought our own numbers had looked like it was going to get up to about 8 cases per 100,000 people as far as new cases, and that was going to throw us over, but it didn't happen. The state does its own numbers using raw data from the tests and got us calculated at 6.9. Now, that seems just wildly, you know, convenient, like just a really lucky number to hit. It hit, and we stayed in the red, which is better than the purple tier. And, yeah, all those things can continue operating. And I think the biggest benefit, look, 10% gym occupancy, very few gyms can make that pencil out economically. But I think that the benefit of staying in this tier is the stability. There was a lot of people really angry, both that the state liberalized things so fast without any notice and opened things up, and then you know, within weeks it was going to drop us down again and shut it down. We just can't handle that kind of vacillation. And so I think the consistency is good. And just one last point. If we had gone into purple, it has been made clear that the schools that were planning to open were not going to be allowed to open, which was a change. The county had been insisting that no matter what tier we were in, they could still open. And then the state comes out last week and says, no, if you go to purple, you can't open schools, which for, like, Poway was going to be a huge deal. Poway is planning to open 26 elementary schools in coming weeks, and they were going to have to stop that. And so they're the ones, I think, probably breathing the biggest sigh of relief right now that they don't have to change those plans.
Well, that's fair enough, Scott. And you've been on the how can we open the rest of society without opening schools rant for a long time, and I certainly appreciate that argument. But when you see the numbers coming out of San Diego State, which a lot of people are going, hey, why should we be punished when, you know, a lot of these numbers are these college students were packed in because they brought them back to campus for, you know, in-person learning, and then they had to shut that down. Why won't that happen if we open up a whole bunch of elementary schools and other local schools? Won't the numbers just shoot up as kids get, you know, packed together in classrooms and hanging out together all day long?
Well, no. Here's what's really interesting about those FTSU numbers. 70 or I think 80% of the positives from that group were people who were taking virtual online classes. They weren't in class together. What had happened is they had moved in together. They had come back to campus in residences, and it was in those residential settings. I think what's become so abundantly clear about this virus, it spreads indoors through the air. People talking loudly, people living together, spending a long time together, speaking loudly, singing, shouting, the droplets in the air, poor ventilation. That's how you spread this. And I think... You know, the schools that are going to be successfully opened and maintained open are the ones that are going to take advantage of outdoor spaces. Like Francis Parker has a beautiful campus and a beautiful plan to open. You know, they designed it to be half outdoors with all the classrooms with these fully open walls to the outdoors. Those places, I think, I would do anything outside, it seems like. You know, the protests, the beaches have been totally crowded. Everything outside has been okay. Ventilation is key, and I think that, you know, when you get a bunch of college students moving in together again after months and months, you know, that was not ideal, and now we're going to watch UC San Diego to see if they handle it a little better.
So if we could all just live alone in giant airy mansions with big pools and outdoor spaces, we'd be fine.
That's
simple enough.
That's
we should have solved this a long time ago. All right, well, that obviously affects everyone, including sports fans. My next question has to do specifically with kind of what Padres fans should expect, maybe even as soon as next year, around Petco Park, and that is the redevelopment of the tailgate lot area and what's going to happen there. I heard the mayor was announcing a decision about what they're going to do. What's the latest? Because I know a lot of Padres fans have enjoyed in these last 16 years, you know, taking their car and setting up a tailgate park. It was supposed to replace that parking lot experience that they used to get at the Murph at Qualcomm Stadium.
Well, you know, the Padres did really well in 98 and pivoted right away to redeveloping East Village. Now they're doing really well, 2020, and they're pivoting right away to be developers again. They want to take advantage of that land to help orchestrate a whole new development of housing, business opportunities, and they have a pretty nice set of renderings, there is an opposing group, and you know, I think that they're going to go through that sort of same process that we're seeing at Sports Arena, where there'll be, you know, some competitive bidding, and you know, one side will be chosen to develop a more comprehensive proposal that will then go to the you know, city council and others for development approvals. And so, you know, what they're kind of deciding is what team should go forward right now. I don't have the best handle on exactly the differences between the teams that out there. You got to give me a little bit more prep on that. But I think we can stay and be excited to see some more renderings. I know Paul's a rendering guy like me.
Yeah, we all love renderings here in San Diego. Just stacks and stacks.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
not sports, but it is that final piece they've been talking about for a long time. There was a long vision that area would be a maybe an arena, and I think this is the final chapter on any of those discussions. They're done discussing that area as an arena. This is going to be more development, and it's a parking lot in a beautiful spot of land that right now is obviously bleak and blighted.
Well, the Chargers wanted to turn it into a convadium, if I remember correctly,
yes.
Not too long ago. It is funny though, Scott. I remember when the debate over Petco Park was happening in 1998, and one of the concerns was, you know, where are people going to park? How are they going to get in and out of downtown with, you know, 45,000 people coming, especially, my God, during a day game during the week when people are working? And honestly, I don't know what you think. I feel like it hasn't really been that big of an issue, that ingress, egress. I mean, any big sporting events, there's going to be traffic and parking issues. But it really, Padres fans have adjusted pretty well over the years from moving from the giant, spacious Qualcomm lot to going to games downtown.
Yeah, you know, downtown has a lot of different spots. There's no one bit, well, there is the one parking lot, but there's just tons of little ones all around. And plus, on the other side right there towards Barrio Logan, there's a lot of opportunities to park and just have a nice stroll to get there. Some of the areas could use a little upgrade as far as safety and such. But there is people have adapted. One thing that I was surprised to hear from Padre management, I think it was a year ago or so, there's only about 3 or 4% of Padre fans who go to the game on mass transit, and so it hasn't been a high, you know, priority for them to optimize that. I know they have some specific wishes for some of the egress and ingress routes for the getting on the freeway and stuff like that, but they're working through those. And I think with this development, it's going to have some specific mitigation efforts to improve that. And so I think I think people have adjusted fine. I think that people love the urban atmosphere. And I think all of us would love to go to a game and then stop by and get a cheesesteak or a beer or something nearby. It's just that vision. I think we'll get back to it someday. But yeah, that whole urban atmosphere, it's got to be the top five in the entire country, I think.
Scott, always appreciate your expertise. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us this morning.
Absolutely, guys. It was great to be back. Go Pods.
Scott Lewis, Voice of San Diego on our SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU online and mobile banking. Let you do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. Consistently, Paul, the one thing I always hear from visitors out of town, like out of town media, they love the downtown ballpark in San Diego. I mean, it is their favorite travel destination. Bar none is coming to San Diego and be able to go to games at Petco Park downtown. That stadium, that ballpark, has been an unbelievable success for this city.
Nobody would want to fly into San Diego, stay at a hotel downtown, and then have to commute into Mission Valley or something for a Padres game. And vice versa, nobody would like to... you know, it's the whole allure is everything's right there and it's perfect. You get to come into San Diego, you get to stay in a hotel overlooking the ocean and seeing the sunset over Coronado, and then you just go right down to the convention center, wherever you need to go. It's all right there.
Yeah. So, Padres fans, good news. You can now stream our Padres broadcast. A few ways you can do that. You can visit our website at 973thefansd.com or use the radio.com app on your smartphone or tablet. You can also listen on your smart speaker just by asking Alexa to play 973 The Fan on radio.com. Padres play here on 973 The Fan. We also play Has Been Ever on Wednesdays. Now, with Woodsy here, I thought maybe I'd get out of it. But Paul has taken over the questions. We need a listener to call in, 833-288-0973. Play along with us. We'll give you a copy of NBA 2K21 for your troubles. We also have a special guesser that has joined me here in the Corona Cave. Say hello.
Hi, guys.
Michelle. Someone who should get these all right, right? She's my wife. If anyone knows Ben, it should be Shelley. Will we surprise her at all? Find out next on 97.3 The Fan. It's Ben and Woods. Stick around.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.